so much for being here today. Can you take your copy of God's Word and stand with us as you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1? And I'm going to give you a little bit of time to locate that. It's on the left side of the Bible, if you're wondering. But thank you for choosing Encounter Church to worship the Lord and celebrate this Mother's Day. You are part of something very, very special. It's the first Mother's Day of an Encounter Church. We are in a year of first, and after this one, nobody else but you can say that I was a part of the very first Mother's Day. As a mother, you are honored on the very first Mother's Day at Encounter Church. Our text today is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. And this is what the scripture says. It says, "Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah." Now, let me give you some backstory on our text today. There's a lady by the name of Hannah, and she had a son who became one of the prophets of God. His name was Samuel. Actually, Samuel is the one that identified King David, or David, to be the next king of Israel and anointed him king. But in this culture, in Hebrew culture, polygamy was accepted, not by God, but by people. And Hannah was one of two wives that her husband, Elkanah, had. And Hannah was barren, and his other wife, she was not. She had children, and she would ridicule, and she would, you know, make fun of Hannah, because in Hebrew culture, if a woman was barren, she would be considered cursed. And that's certainly not the case, but I wanted to give you some backstory so that our text would make more sense than it would be in context. It says, "And Elkanah had relations with his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked him of the Lord.' Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, 'I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, and he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever.' Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word.' So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with a three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. She said, 'Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. And also, as long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord.' And he worshiped the Lord there." You may be seated. Today, Mother's Day is always a special, special day. It's special. I'm the oldest of four, and to be honest with you, my wife will tell you that I left my mother and married another woman who has a mothering heart. And I've never been without a woman in my life that was mothering. And so Mother's Day is always a very, very special day for me. Hey, think about it this way. It's a special day for you too, whether you're male or female, because without a mother, you wouldn't be here. Amen? I mean, listen, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate Mother's Day. It is very, very special. It was early one Friday morning. A husband was busily getting ready for work, and just before heading out for the day, he looked over at his beautiful wife while she was just waking up. She had a big smile on her face. She said, "Honey, I bet you don't know what today is." Her husband, who had a horrible time keeping dates straight in his head and was notorious for confusing and forgetting special days, smiled back, brain momentarily paralyzed, said, "Sweetheart, how could I ever forget? This is a special day for us." Then he quickly walked out the door to work. He was in a mental fog all day. He couldn't focus on his work because he kept trying to figure out what was so special about that day for the life of him, which may very well have been the case. He could not remember his wife's birthday or their anniversary. As the day wore on, he became more and more nervous. He didn't want to go home and face his wife. He didn't want to disappoint her. So he devised a plan. On the way home, he stopped by the florist and picked out an expensive, beautiful bouquet of flowers. He called the fanciest restaurant in town and made reservations for two. Then he called and managed to get tickets to a Broadway musical that was in town. He pulled in the driveway, rushed in the house, gave his wife a big kiss and told her, "Put on your favorite dress because we're going out for a night on the town to celebrate." On the way home that night, his wife leaned over, put her head on his shoulder and said, "Honey, this was a great evening." "And it was," he said. In fact, to himself, he said, "We had a wonderful evening, and it was a very expensive evening." He had spent $500 to celebrate this special day, even though he still had no idea what they were celebrating. She said, "Honey, this has been the greatest Groundhog Day ever." As special as Mother's Day is, I do realize, and I'm very, very sensitive to, for some, that Mother's Day may bring up some painful memories. And I want you to know that I'm very sorry that those memories, those feelings are troubling you today. And my heart goes out to you. But I also realize and I'm sensitive that there's people here, there's ladies here this morning who have a deep longing to be a mother. But for whatever reason, you've been unable to have a child. And whatever makes this day difficult for you, I want you to know that we deeply, deeply care about you. We care about your feelings. We care about what you're going through. And we weep with you. We grieve with you. We mourn with you. But even more importantly than that, God knows. And God deeply cares. The scripture says that he is near the brokenhearted. That just simply means he pulls us in closer when our hearts are breaking. This week I read a quote where somebody said, "Motherhood is more than a stage. It's a lifelong calling from God. With it, he gives us hearts that love deeply, hands that serve tirelessly, and vision to see his blossoming image in the precious ones entrusted to our care." The greatest president this country has ever had, will ever have, in my opinion, is a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln. And he said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." For those who have had, or maybe you still have your mother, and she's a godly mother, you know very well the blessing that's in having a godly mother. And hey, you may be here today and you just entered into your faith or whatever the reason. Maybe you've not, you in your own evaluation, your own opinion, feel like you've not been a very godly mother and you've not set the best example for your kids. Well, I have great news for you. You can begin today. You can begin being the mother that God has called you to be, and a godly mother with a godly influence on your children. And because I want you to know something. God is a God of second chances. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It said, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Pastor, why did it come to him a second time? Because he messed up the first time. He rebelled against the Lord. He didn't do what God called him to do and purpose for him to do. And that very same chance, the second, the third, the fourth, if you like me, multiple chances that God gives us to get it right. And so I want you to know that as we go through the message today, that if you're new to Christianity, if you want to live out these principles, or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, as I said momentarily a moment ago, that you've not done a very effective job, I want you to know these principles you can take today, and you can begin today applying these to your motherhood, and you can make a godly difference in your children. And by the way, if you don't have children, you can still have a godly influence on children. You've got that mothering instinct, and you're a spiritual mother to someone or many people. But I wanted to take just a few moments to talk about the blessing of a godly mother and the characteristics that we find in a godly mother. So I'm in your notes now. The first characteristic of a godly mother, the first blessing of a godly mother is she prays for her children. She prays for her children. Our text in verse 26 to 27 said, she said, oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy, I prayed. For this boy, I prayed. Hannah, no doubt, was a praying woman. She was a praying woman in 1 Samuel 1, our chapter here, but verse 12 says that she continued praying before the Lord. She was persistent in her prayer. And what makes that even more impactful is we find it in verse 7 that it happened year after year. What happened year after year, Pastor? Her husband's other wife, who was able to bear children, would every year, I imagine throughout the year, but especially when it came time to go to the temple to make that yearly sacrifices, this other wife of his would ridicule and make fun of Hannah because she couldn't have children, because she was barren. The Bible says it happened year after year. What's beautiful about this is Hannah didn't quit praying because God had not answered her prayer yet. She didn't give up on praying. She continued to pray even though God still hadn't answered her prayer, and she continued to be barren for years and years. Here's what I know about a godly mother. She prays for her children before they're even born. And once they're born, a godly mother prays over her children. She prays for them before they're born, and she prays over them after they're born. I'll tell you a personal story. My mother, I was not raised in a home where we went to church. We were somewhat of a Christian home. My mother was the spiritual leader in our home my whole childhood. My dad didn't give his life to Christ till he was 65, but I want to tell you how impactful a godly mother is. My mother taught me to pray. And let me explain this to you, and hopefully it'll make more sense. I remember my mother. I told you earlier, I was the oldest of four. I was 5 years older than my sister. And I remember, and this is going to tell you how old I was. I remember my mother picking me up and setting me on a bed. And she taught me the prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. You want to talk about it? I can see where the bed was placed in my little bedroom, little small house. But that's the power of a godly mother. That's the impact. I was small enough that she had to pick me up and put me on the bed. So I'm 57 years old now. So over 50 some odd years, I can still vividly remember this woman, my mother in her early 20s, teaching me to pray, and she had no idea the difference that little prayer would make in my life. And I wasn't raised in a church-going home and a godly home, but my mother influenced me. It burned something in me. Nothing, ladies and gentlemen, moves the hand of God like a praying mother. Nothing moves the hand of God like a praying mother. One of the greatest religious leaders of all time, St. Augustine. His mother, her name was Monica. And St. Augustine, as he would go around ministering, would often say that it was the prayers of my mother that brought me to the foot of the cross. Here's what I would say to you today, Mom. You may have a child, a son or daughter that's lost. You know that they don't have a relationship with Christ. Don't give up praying for them. Don't give up praying for them. It may be years, but God hears your prayers. He's going to answer your prayer. Don't give up praying for them. Listen, you may have a child that's sick, that has a disease, that has something terrible. Don't give up praying for that child. Don't give up praying for them. You may have an adult child or a teen child that you're estranged from. Maybe they've run away. Maybe they're adult and they just don't want to have anything else to do with you. Don't quit praying for them. Don't stop praying for them, because your prayers moves the hand of God. It moves the hand of God. And ma'am, if you're here today and you're unable to have children, I want you to do something. I want you to, before you leave today, you can stop off at one of our tables by the back doors here as you leave the sanctuary. Get one of our welcome cards. I simply want you to write your name on that card. And down at the bottom of the card under prayer request, I want you to write, pray that I can bear a child, or pray that I can have a child. And I want you to give it to me. I'm going to commit to praying for you every single day. And we're going to pray together, and we're going to believe together that God's going to give you a child. Do you believe that, Pastor? With every fiber of my being. If God can't do it, then we might as well close up shop. He can do it. If he did it for Hannah, he'll do it for you. I believe that. So please do that. If for some reason you can't get it to me, drop it off at the welcome table there. They'll get it to me. But I personally want you to give it to me, because I want you to know, I want you to look into my eyes and know that I'm going to pray for you every day. And we're going to believe God's going to give you a child, because a godly mother prays for her children. I'll tell you something else a godly mother, that's a blessing in having a godly mother, is she makes personal sacrifices for her children. A teacher asked the students in the class, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you, your parents and five children, what part of the pie would you get? Little boy raised his hand and said, a sixth. She said, well, son, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions, said the teacher. Remember, there are seven of you. And he said, yes, teacher, but you don't know my mama. My mama would say she didn't want any pie. Verse 28 of our text, Hannah said to Eli, she said, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Now listen, this made me push back a little bit as I was preparing this message and sit back and think, Talk about a personal sacrifice. This woman had prayed for this child for years. She had been ridiculed. She had been considered cursed. She would make herself, you know, she would make herself, she would keep herself separated. She would isolate herself from the population. That's why year after year she dreaded going to the temple to make the sacrifices, because she knew that other women were talking about her. Other men were talking about her. So she prayed and God answered her prayer. Samuel was her only child. And she knew that God had blessed her and that Samuel was an answer to her prayer. She knew the scripture says that the fruit of the womb is a blessing of the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. She saw that during this weaning process, which, by the way, in Hebrew culture, the weaning process would last till they were about 3-4 years old. She knew that there was something special about this little boy, her son. And she knew that dedicating him to the Lord was what was best for her son. Now, that's where we get dedicating children to the Lord in church today. We had one a couple of weeks ago. But in Hebrew culture, it meant bringing them to the church and leaving them with the pastor. Please don't consider that. Please. Jesus has come. We do things different. Some of you thinking, oh God, praise God, I'll drop him off this afternoon. Don't do that. Don't. But this woman who prayed for this child brought him at 3 or 4 years old and gave him to the Lord and left him to minister at the church. You talk about a personal sacrifice. You talking about giving up her desire, because I guarantee you, she was a woman. She had fleshly desires, meaning she wanted to keep that boy. She wanted to keep him with her. But Hannah, ladies and gentlemen, was a woman of integrity. Because godly women and godly men should be men and women of integrity. She had made a promise to God that if he would bless her with a child, with a son, that she would dedicate him to the Lord for all of his life. And God blessed her. And she intended to keep that promise. You know, the thought rolled through my mind. How many times have we said and prayed, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. And we never follow through. Once we get what we want, we turn. And we don't fulfill our commitment, our promise to the Lord. Not Hannah. Not Hannah. She reminds me of Proverbs 31. The Proverbs 31 the woman that I've often wondered, who is this woman? Solomon wrote this. And scholars believe that he wrote it about his mother. Anybody know who his mother was? Bathsheba. We remember what Bathsheba did? This is not even, I ain't even gonna charge you for this. Listen, talking about a God of second chances. This woman is described in the Bible as a virtuous woman. But verse 27 of Proverbs 31 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. What does that mean, Pastor? She's not lazy. A godly woman's not lazy. A godly mother's not lazy. She's constantly making sacrifices. Verse 28 says that her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. Why? Because they recognize the great sacrifice that she makes for her family. From my experience, mothers usually are the first ones up and the last ones to go to bed because they're tending to the needs of their family. And husband, that includes you. She's making sure you're cared for. She's making sure the children are cared for. A psychologist was talking to his patient, and he said to her, he said, let's see, so you spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% of your energy on your husband, and 50% of your energy on your children. I think I see the problem. That's the way most mothers live. So much so that I've witnessed mothers make such great personal sacrifices for their children, for their families, to their own detriment physically. They may not eat supper to make sure there's enough for the children. They may not go to that doctor visit because they got to make sure that the child, they can make sure the child is covered and paid for to go to the. There's great sacrifices that mothers make that we may never be aware of. If your mother is still with you today, I was talking to a man before church. My heart got heavy because this was first Mother's Day without Mama. 62 years. I remember when my dad passed. I know what that heaviness, but there's something special about a mother. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, there's no love like a mother's love. There's no love like a mother's love. If your mother's still with you, rise up and bless her today. Rise up and bless her. Husband, praise your wife in front of your children, in front of other people. Let me tell you, it may embarrass, it may put her on the spot, but I'm telling you, it'll do her good. And I'm gonna say this, and I know there's certain circumstances. I get it. But husband, dad, if you're not married to your mother's children, never, ever, ever talk bad or negative about her in front of your children when they're with you. In fact, I would encourage you to do something that would change the whole dynamic. I want you to praise her in front of your children. It's just a thought. Instead of all this bickering and fighting and can't get along and the kids are caught up in the middle, that's never good. That's never good. She's the mother of your children. You wouldn't have those children without her. If your mother has gone on to be with the Lord, she's already in heaven, just take some time today if you hadn't already and just thank the Lord for your godly mother, for the mother that he blessed you with, because she makes great personal sacrifices for her family. Again, Abraham Lincoln, no doubt he had a special relationship with his mother. He said, "All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." So what are the blessings of having a godly mother? She prays for her children. She makes personal sacrifices for her children. And then lastly, she prepares her children. Verse 28 said, and he's talking about Samuel, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now wait a minute. Think about this. I told you earlier that they weaned a child up until he was 3 to 4 years old. So Samuel, when she brought him to the church, was he was less than 5 years old. And it said, and he worshiped the Lord there. No doubt, this is what it tells me, no doubt that during that weaning process, during that 3 to 4 year process, Hannah taught, little Samuel how to pray, how to pray, memorize prayers like my mother did. Now I lay me down to sleep. Listen, there may not be any doctrinal, that may not even be a doctrinally correct prayer, but she taught me about praying to God. And there's no doubt that Hannah taught Samuel how to worship God. No doubt she would sing songs to him as she nursed him, because that's what godly mothers do. Look, she was preparing him for his life with the Lord, because she knew that she had dedicated him to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, children have an incredible ability to learn at a very early age. Let me give you an example. And totally, my oldest daughter gets this from her mother, because I can't remember anything. Our oldest daughter, by the time she was 2 years old, she had memorized verbatim 24 nursery rhymes. You tell me a child can't learn. You tell me those early years are not important. I did a little research, and I want to give you some documentation. I read an article in Health News, and the title of it was Parenting: The Formative Years Are Crucial. The formative years are the most fundamental developmental stage in a child. It is the period between 0 and 8 years, during which the brain and neurobiological development are the fastest after birth. This stage can significantly impact the mental development of a child. My mind immediately jumped to Proverbs 22 and 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Pastor, when do I start training up my child? The moment the child is born. The moment that child is born, God gives it a supernatural ability to learn. No doubt, Hannah being a godly woman, a woman who worshiped God, she was very familiar with the Hebrew scriptures that says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and daughters, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. At Encounter Church, I want you to know that if your child is in e-nursery, or if your child is in e-kids, they are being taught scripture. That we're not just babysitting. No, we got pastors in there that are pouring into your child, because we understand that they have this innate supernatural ability to learn. And if we're going to put anything in them, we want to put the Word of God in them. Amen? And that's what we do. And Billy Graham said this as I close. Only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children. There's a very high likelihood that many, if not most of you or us, are here today because you had or you still have a mother who has prayed for you your whole life. She wore out her knees in those years that my mama said were when I sowed my wild oats. She never stopped praying. Your mother never stopped praying. Maybe you're here because not only did you have a mother that's prayed for you your whole life, but she made great personal sacrifices for you. Many which you will never know this side of heaven. in her own way, depending on the Lord, she has prepared you to be who you are today, because you were blessed to have a godly mother. If you're here today and your mother may be here with you,